I know probably what you guys are thinking, like it's a lot. Like to get where I am today, like you have to do a lot of work, and I'm not gonna like sugarcoat it or anything like that. Like I worked extremely hard, hitting 4, 5, 6 days a week, even during basketball season when I played in high school. But the whole burnout, I kind of want to talk about the burnout part of it, because I definitely experienced it and I've definitely like overcome it.
Hey, I'm Ashley Agle. Some of you might know me as Ashley Burkhart, and I'm a former D1 and professional softball player who spent a few years coaching in the college game before deciding to put all of my focus into youth softball players and helping them make their dreams and their goals happen for them. It's our job to help them unleash their potential and become the athletes they've always dreamt of. I come from a small city in the Midwest and didn't let that stop me from making my goal of playing D1 softball a reality. No matter where you live, you have the tools to help you thrive, and I am hoping through this podcast to help you get there. On this podcast, you'll learn from Olympians, Hall of Fame coaches, and elite players what their journeys have been like, and you'll also learn from me and my family a bit of our journey through the game. I'm so excited to have you here, so whip out your notebook and let's learn how we can grow in this game together. Welcome to When the Cleats Come Off. Hey, welcome back, or welcome to When the Cleats Come Off. I'm so excited to have you here this week. We are having a returning guest to the show, and she's a Midwest standout from Bremen, Indiana, Erin Koffel. Erin is not only a two-time All-American, but she was also ranked number 10 in preseason rankings as one of the best players in the nation. Whoa. She also just recently broke the home run record at the University of Kentucky by hitting her 63rd home run. Oh, did I mention she actually likes defense more than hitting? Erin is deserving of all of these accolades and so many more. When she was on the podcast last year in episode 127, she talked about her experience growing up playing the game, her experience with her dad, what led her to be a now two-time All-American from the University of Kentucky. So what goes in to being the best, basically. And this time is actually not a simple interview that I normally do. This was a conversation that she had with my virtual Hitting Academy members earlier this year. She kicked off the year chatting with them, sharing a little bit more detail and insight on what made her who she is. And also at the very end, my athletes were able to ask her questions, and I can't tell you how beneficial that was to see my athletes be able to ask an All-American, a stud, in person, all of these different questions. And yes, some of them are silly, like what's your favorite color? But truly, you know, getting to know and having the opportunity to meet the best of the best is one of the reasons why I started implementing this into VHA. It's very hard to become the best without knowing how the best think. So this is a little insight on how Erin Koffel thinks. Now, I can't share the entire conversation because it's over an hour and my editor would probably kill me, but there's a huge, awesome chunk of this chat that she had that I'm sharing with you. And in this conversation, she talks about how she was able to train in a cold state of Indiana. This is why I love this Midwest kid, but how that didn't stop her from becoming the best version of her. She also talked about what sparked her love of competing growing up, what led her to Kentucky, even though growing up, Florida was her dream school, what she feels separated her from her competition, how she had come really close to burnout a couple times in her career, but what she did to ultimately avoid it. She talked about her bond with her dad and how it wasn't always sunshine and rainbows and smooth sailing, but how they worked together to help her become the best. And also what she did in the cages growing up to help her learn how to succeed under pressure. And of course, she talks about more, but these are the heavy hitters. I'm so excited to bring Erin back to the podcast. So buckle up. This is a good one. Let's welcome back Erin Koffel to the show.
Erin, can you speak upon like the fact that we don't have great weather most of the year to be practicing outside? Mm-hmm. But like you had this goal to get really good. What did your training look like growing up, especially in like a colder state?
Yeah. So I was pretty fortunate that my dad actually got his own hitting facility in our small town of Bremen. So I was pretty fortunate. It was like in the back of a factory, like super janky, but it worked. So I was fortunate enough to be able to hit in there, you know, 5 or 6 days a week. And then, but also at the same time, like down here in Kentucky, like we just got 5 to 6 inches of snow. So you have to kind of put it into perspective a little bit. So just because we're from Indiana doesn't mean shouldn't limit us to how great we can be compared to like California kids, like you guys, where you guys can get out on the dirt, you know, all year round. So it's tough, but if you really, really want to do it, you'll find ways to do it. I remember me and my dad all the time, like in our living room, we used to take tennis balls and he would just roll me tennis balls for ground balls since we couldn't get out in the dirt. So you just have to find different ways to be great, in my opinion. So if it's throwing the ball off the wall and your parents are yelling at you, sorry, mom, sorry, dad, just don't break anything, right? So that's kind of what I had to do. You just kind of got to make things up along the way and, you know, you can't make excuses for yourself. So just awesome. Because it's cold out, you know, go out, maybe go on a little run, go on a little jog, go play in the snow, go be a kid.
And like, do you think like the influence of your brothers had influence on you just being an athlete, just growing up playing and messing around with them?
Definitely. I mean, it was from going outside and like having wiffle ball tournaments and wrestling inside and running around the house. Most definitely. I think, honestly, they're the ones that kind of sparked my interest to just like be active and go outside, because that's one of my favorite things to do now. So I love doing just random stuff outside. Like as a kid, we had a roof that you could throw stuff on. And this is something else I would do during the summer. If no one could throw me like pop flies, like I'd chuck balls onto the roof and like anticipate where they're going to land at. So that's just random stuff that I did as a kid. And hopefully my parents wouldn't yell at me.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
So think about younger you. Like you said, you were 12 when you wanted to play in college. Did I get that right?
Yeah, it's kind of when it started to, yeah.
Did you like go to a game or like see, you know, elite softball on TV? Like what sparked that for you?
So every spring break, we went to Madeira Beach, which is in Florida. And we would, every spring break, we'd make it a ritual to go to a Florida softball game. So we'd made sure we always caught a series. And I think, and I still have pictures like from every year that we went. And my dream school was to go to Florida. So that's kind of where it like started to grow. And I never really watched softball on TV that much. I don't think it was on as much as it is now. So I think that, you know, taking the opportunity to do that every single year, because I just never really went to watch Notre Dame. Because I guess at that age, it wasn't like big or anything like that. I did go to a couple of Notre Dame softball camps, but that was for fun. So yeah, I think the yearly Florida trip really sparked it for me.
Mm, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So because Florida was the dream school, mm-hmm. this is kind of like, so my dream school was Notre Dame, which is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. It's like neither of us went to those like dream schools.
Yeah.
But I always say like me wanting to play at Notre Dame and going to their camps and getting elite hitting lessons so that I could like, you know, be one of the elite hitters in the state, like the pursuit of Notre Dame is what kind of opened the doors for me to Correct. Kind of see other colleges. Do you feel like it was similar for you, or like what about Florida? Like what changed to help you find Kentucky?
Yeah. So as I was started to get like older and get recruited by like other colleges, Florida never really became an option for me. They never really came and recruited me and stuff like that. So it kind of just kind of got shoved out of the picture, and then other schools started to filter in. So, and I was like over the edge excited, you know, when Kentucky like first reached out, I went to one of their camps and they weren't looking at me before that. And then they noticed me from one of those camps. And that's when my like interest really, like, I was like, oh, okay, it's not just Florida, you know, there's other schools, programs in the country that are super good that are closer to me. I think that kind of helped as well. Just noticing that Florida maybe isn't an option right now. So I have to, you know, be smart and narrow it down to schools that are interested in me, because I don't want to go to a school that's not interested in me. You know, I want a school that wants the best for me. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. You kind of get that feeling, right? Like when you know school really, really wants you and you like feel wanted, it's like there's nothing that compares.
Correct. Yeah.
Good. There's some athletes here, and you young ones, like, you don't have to know what you want later on. I just want you to have this opportunity to learn from a really good player that's from the Midwest. She's also a really good hitter. We'll talk about hitting here in a bit, because that's, you know, what we do here is the Virtual Hitting Academy. But there are some athletes here that like really want to be in your shoes one day, and like they want to play. Maybe their goal is to play in college. Maybe their goal is, you know, to play for Team USA. You've had an opportunity to wear Team USA on your chest. Like you've done those things. What does it truly take to one, be a college athlete, two, be asked to be on Team USA? Have you ever thought about this? Like what all went into this?
It kind of all just like came at once with the Team USA thing. But I think the biggest thing for me is, and I feel like the way I can like separate myself from other people is I truly like love what I do. Like I love playing softball. And I don't know if that's the same for you guys. You could love it because your parents love it. You could love it because you love it. But to get where I am today and to get the opportunities that I have today, I think the biggest thing is you have to love what you do. Like you have to love the work process. You have to love to hit. You have to love to do defense. And it can't come from your parents, your grandparents, you know, outside people. It has to come from within your heart. Cause that's what I've kind of noticed, like with girls I played on with in travel ball teams and stuff like that. A lot of the reason they were still playing was because their parents wanted them to still play, if that makes sense. So I was always the kid like, hey, dad, can we go hit? You know, hey, can we go take ground balls? He'd be like, oh, fine, sure. So I think that was one of the biggest things for me. And I know probably what you guys are thinking, like, it's a lot. Like, to get where I am today, like, you have to do a lot of work. And I'm not going to, like, sugarcoat it or anything like that. Like, I worked extremely hard hitting four, five, six days a week, even during basketball season when I played in high school. But the whole burnout, I kind of want to talk about the burnout part of it, because I definitely experienced it. And I've definitely, like, overcome it a little bit. It can be a lot, because I'm sure if you guys play other sports or if you don't play other sports, it can be a lot sometimes. So I think what's essential for me and what kind of changed for me is on like rest days or like days you're not doing softball, do stuff that's completely different from softball. Do your favorite hobbies. So like kind of like what I'd like to do, I like to shop. Unfortunately, it's a bad habit of mine, but I love to shop. So I get in my car and I go to Lulu. Not a good habit, but it takes my mind off of softball for a little bit. I like to take my dog on walks. I have a golden retriever named Jack. He's mine, actually. So I like to take him on walks, do stuff with him. I like to read. I like to find new books to read. And I like to, another thing I like to do is try like new dinner recipes I find on TikTok. So just find stuff that you truly want to do that's outside of softball. And I think that's a big reason that I've avoided burnout along the way. And then another thing, so during travel ball, it can be really, really long, like in grueling seasons. So right after like the season's done, take a couple weeks off, take 2 to 3 weeks off, do what a normal person does, you know, do what a kid your age does, you know, go hang out with your friends, because I'm sure that there's a lot of times like where you want to hang out with your friends, but you have softball. So go do that. So I always had like something planned towards the end of my season, and I made sure that I got to do that. So that also avoided burnout, because I got to look forward to doing that, because not every day you're going to wake up and you want to do softball. That's just not the case. I mean, I wish that was the case for me. It'd be a lot easier, but I don't think that's the case for everyone. So that's kind of how I would avoid burnout in a way. So
I'm so glad you mentioned burnout. Like, I wasn't even planning on bringing that up, but like so many of us have experienced or come close to it in pursuit of like anything. Like, and I guess all of us play softball, but like we have other, you know, areas of our life that I think that's really good feedback to learn from, is like, you got to know who you are outside of the game. Cause I know a lot of people, some of you have been injured before, and like, it's a really grueling time when you're injured. Cause you're like, oh my gosh, we don't have softball. What do I do? We all experience COVID. Like, the reason why I got out of college coaching to coach you guys mostly is like, because you guys needed, you know, something to do, an outlet, like when you couldn't go practice or play softball with your friends, like what did we have? And like, we had Zoom. So this is kind of where this all started. So
yeah,
understand, like there are things out there that you probably would be interested in, but you don't know unless you try. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's like, go to the movies, like go shopping, ask your mom and dad before you go do that.
Yes.
Didn't use their money, I'm sure. But I think that's really, really, really good advice here. And I'm really glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. And I also, when I would take those couple of weeks off towards the end of the season, one, you don't lose any skill or ability. I think also in that aspect, you build your mindset in a way. You may not be building your physical tool set, but you're building your mental tool set. Because for me, I had to like, Aaron, you're not going to go hit today. Like, take the time off. Because that's kind of how my brain is wired. But at the end of those 2 to 3 weeks, or at the end of that rest day, I find myself like actively like looking forward to the next coming weeks, or to the next season of softball, or to the next day of practice, or hitting with my dad or whatnot. So that's what kind of I look forward to, because I get excited when that feeling comes, like I want to go hit, you know. So
Yeah, you got to be away from it in order to miss it.
Correct. Yeah,
I love that. Didn't you go to Florida for like your spring, for Christmas break too? Little sunshine.
I did. Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing. Me and my family went to Christmas break for like 4 or 5 days right before I came back to school. And I still did softball, obviously, because I can't just skip out then because the season's coming up. But yeah, I found ways, kind of going back to the other part. Me and my dad like searched for hitting cages when I was down in Florida. Obviously in your guys' shoes, it's not that deep. I'm in college softball, so I have to stay at the top of the game if I want to be elite. So I found cages to go hit at. We found a field to go field at, but I still enjoyed my family time while I was there and got to enjoy the decently warm sun. It wasn't amazing, but it was warmer than Indiana for sure.
We'll take it.
Yeah,
I remember I would go to Florida on like our spring break, and I think it's a Midwest thing. Everybody goes to Florida for spring break. But I remember like my dad and I would bring a glove, sometimes a bat, and we would just like, he would throw me balls. And I would dive on the sand just to like,
oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's fun. Like we made training fun.
Yes.
When I was younger. And like, obviously like you, like as you get older, as you have these goals to play in college, then it's going to start getting a little bit more serious. Like, hey,
exactly.
We're going to actually train for an hour or two, even though we're on vacation. But like, there's even ways to just like have fun. You play paddleball, like
yeah,
you
just exactly
athletic things. Just like understand, it's meant to be fun at a young age. As you get older, like yes, it's going to get a little bit more intense when it comes to training. But I love that. I love that you find a way to rest and relax, but you also like know when to put the work in. So that's really good stuff. All right, can we talk about hitting now?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, I've been like dying to ask you hitting questions. So, Erin, you guys, you would classify yourself as a power hitter, probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Just wanted to make sure we heard it from you. But yeah, she hits a lot of home runs. She likes to do that. But that didn't happen overnight. So I know you mentioned that you used to hit, like this is in high school, like probably 4 to 6 times a week, closer to 6. Can you take us through not only like how often you train, but like how did you train? Like, did you do the same thing every day? Did you mix it up? Did it depend on what areas of your game you were working on? Like, take as much time as you need here. Take us through that training and what it was like when you started taking it a little bit more seriously.
Yeah. So for me, because I had a pretty busy week during the winter season. So like the season we're in now, I played basketball in high school. So I like to plan out my schedule. My hitting coach was my dad. So I was pretty fortunate to have that. But along the way, I've met some other coaches, so we'll get into that in a little bit. But so in the winter season, I like to plan out my schedule like a week in advance. So I like to plan the days that I'm going to hit. So my dad also knows when I'm going to hit because he also has a life. I plan the days that I'm going to hit, and I'm not just hitting to hit when I go. I have me and my dad discuss when we get into the cage what our intention's going to be. So whether it's we're going to focus more on mechanics that day, or we're going to focus more on, you know, hit for power, bat speed, or we're going to focus on situationals. So I tried to mix it up a lot, but we had to learn that. Like, that was not how it was, you know, that's not how it's always been. We went through a learning curve because we probably started hitting together when I was like 12, maybe, like seriously started to hit together. And me and him went through a big learning curve. So if you and your dad are hitting together and your dad's your hitting coach or your mom's your hitting coach, and you get frustrated with them sometimes, trust me, me and my dad went through like a huge learning curve together. And sometimes it was not all that great. So we had to learn together. But anyway, so a big thing for me and my dad was we always wanted to practice under pressure. And it's kind of hard to do that in a cage setting when you're not around other teammates or coaches or anything like that. So we like to practice under pressure with an elevated heartbeat. So I would do, just for an example, like I'd start to hit off the tee, do all my drills that I do, and then I would start to do like jumping jacks, push-ups, anything that would get my heart rate elevated. I would start to hit. And that led to another aspect of the game that was a huge, probably one of the biggest deals still today to me is breathing. Breathing is a huge, huge thing for me. Learning how to control your breath. There's this thing called heart math. Do you know what heart math is, Ashley?
No, I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So Coach Lawson actually talked about it to me because she could tell that even in travel ball, like I was not an anxious wreck, but like I would get really jittery and I wouldn't know how to calm myself down. But it's just like a heart rate monitor where you kind of breathe with it, but we can talk about that later. So that really, really helped me, learning how to understand how to control my breathing. Not just like in game, but also once I would elevate my heartbeat and practice, with my dad, like that would help me a ton. Another thing is we learned along the way. You know, starting out, we would probably be in there for like an hour, 15 minutes, like hitting, and I'd get in like 300 cuts. And we noticed towards the end, I would like start to deteriorate along the way, and I was not getting any better. So we noticed that taking a million cuts is not it. And I want to preach that to you all, because you think I have to take, you know, 500 swings a day or whatever the case is. That's not the case. It's quantity over quality, or quality over quantity. Sorry. Quality over quantity.
You know what you meant.
Yeah. So that is one of the biggest things that we learned along the way. And I want to preach that to you guys. So
give me an example. I'm just super interested in the breathing part.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, are you doing like burpees and then you're taking cuts like under pressure? Or like, can you give like an example of one of those drills that you and your dad would do to like elevate the heart rate, but also like perform?
Yeah. So he would call it a situation. So runners on second and third, two outs, bottom of the sixth inning, you guys are losing by two runs. So I'd get down and I would do five burpees or whatnot, five squat jumps. And then I'd get up, and that's when the breathing piece comes in. And I'd have to, you know, do my routine with my breathing. I developed a routine with my breathing, and then I would step in the box and go. It wasn't easy at first because I didn't know how to control my breathing at first. But then once we learned along the way how to do it, it made a huge difference, like in practice and in games, especially in games. My sophomore year of high school was my breakout season, I think. And that's when I started to breathe a lot. So I don't know if that has any correlation, but yeah.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely sure it does. So like, you don't have to give like specific details because you probably can do this without thinking, like mm-hmm. with your work, because you've done it probably hundreds of thousands of times at this point, you know, with your breath and learning yourself.
Yeah.
But is it a matter of just like intentionally slowing it down? Is it like having an internal focus? Like, what would you lean that towards? I'm just genuinely curious. And I think some more people might be too.
Yeah. So for me, I think it's actually just slowing my heartbeat down. I'll give an example. Today we were scrimmaging. It was our blue versus white team, and there was runner on second and third. I could feel my, like, I think I took the first pitch strike, swung at a pitch over my head. So I was down 0-2, and we were losing by a run in the scrimmage. So I could feel my heartbeat. Like, I was like, come on, Aaron. Like, so I stepped out of the box, like slowed myself down, slowed my breathing down, stepped back in. And then I worked to a 3-2 count and I got walked. So I think without that, and without being able to slow my heartbeat down, I would have swung at a pitch out of the zone, you know, wouldn't have had a good at bat with runners in scoring position. So just for that example, like it, I think it slows me down, but it also at the end of my breathing, it's like that internal like switch in my head, like, okay, focus, you know? So I think it's a little mixture of both.
I'm so happy Erin gave us a little bit of her time, especially in preseason when it's her senior season. She probably had prep work to do, but she just loves making sure that the game is better. And I love how real she was. She didn't cookie cutter any of this. She didn't say any of this was easy. She worked so hard, and she has worked so hard to be where she is, to have played at the University of Kentucky, played for Team USA. And I hope you and your athlete were just inspired by what goes into being great. And again, if you haven't listened to episode 127, it's labeled How She Went from Midwest Standout to an All-American in the SEC. She dives even deeper into some of these topics, but I just love that she's so willing and open to share things about being vulnerable with burnout, you know, how she developed that competitive fire with her brothers and how things weren't always easy with her dad. Like, this is just a real conversation, and I just had to share it with you. Now, again, this is just one piece of that full 1 hour chat that we had with Erin. But what's really awesome is my VHA members have access to the full conversation, and they actually get to meet these players every month. I bring in players. I bring Hall of Fame coaches like Sue Inquist has been there. Coach Hutch has hung out with us. Olympians like Aubrey Monroe and Monica Abbott have talked to my players. And I have this long list of people that I wish to get them to see this year as well. We even have a yoga specialist and also mental skills advocate, Kalia Snare, who's also an All-American from the University of South Carolina. She's actually meeting with my players here in a couple weeks. There's just a lineup of people that I can't wait to get in front of my VHA members. And this is the first time that I've done this. I started this at the beginning of the year. We have a monthly membership now. So if you want to join in, have access to these conversations, be able to meet some of these celebrities that I bring in, be able to do our weekly workshops together, you are more than welcome to join VHA. And it's literally only $17 a month, which for the value of what you're getting, that's clearly a lot less than what you're actually getting. But I would love to have you as a member. I'll send you a welcome gift. We'll welcome you to hang out with some of these celebs, and we would love to have you. So if you head to my website under VHA, or just tap the link that I have down below in the show notes, you can become a member, and it's no obligation. You can literally cancel any time. But if you want to hear more from these celebrities, I would love to have you in a VHA Virtual Hitting Academy and become a member. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode with Erin. I love her so much. I can't wait to keep supporting her the rest of the season and see what else her and Kentucky does, especially once conference play starts. They're a powerhouse team, and I love watching her play. So go get to watching softball. Go support Erin. She is a gem of a human. She's worked so hard, and she's such an inspiration. All right, if you enjoyed this, don't forget, go share this with a friend. Go review this podcast on Apple Podcasts and help me help get this word out to more people who love the game. A lot of people don't know about this podcast, so you can help me get it out there. All right, friends, don't forget to stay humble, stay awkward, and keep smiling throughout this game. And I will see you again next week. See you later.